Veterans Affairs Secretary Bob McDonald says most veterans don't know what Blue Button, eBenefits, or My Health eVet are and what each of those services can do for them. He wants his new Veterans Experience Officer, Tom Allen, to consolidate the department's websites into one as a place to start. You can find the full story from my colleague Jared Serbu at federalnewsradio.com. Phil Carter is Senior Fellow and Director of the Military Veterans and Society Program at the Center for A New American Security and looking at the issues that VA is trying to address. And Phil, it's fair to start by letting folks know that you're a customer of Veterans Affairs, thanks to your service in the United States Army, and I thank you for that, and I thank you for joining me on the program today. As you look at the customer service report that the Department of Veterans Affairs has recently undertaken, what were your takeaways as far as what VA believes it needs to address for itself? Thanks for coming on, Phil.
Thanks, Francis. And it's actually quite broad. It's not just a customer service report, but this is the new strategy and the plan for implementing that strategy for Secretary Bob McDonald's, quote, My VA vision. It's about a 50-page report, and it goes into everything from the way they're reshaping their map to how they're going to add veterans experience offices throughout the country. There's an awful lot of good stuff in there, and there's some other stuff that I think we might disagree with or might say is not going as far as they need to, but it's a pretty comprehensive document in its scope.
You've pretty extensively studied the relationship that veterans have with the VA and with the federal government as a whole. What's your sense of the areas that are most prime for VA to do something about the relationships that they have with their ultimate customers, which are veterans?
That's the central question the report wrestles with, and it takes a very incremental approach to solving that, which is how do we improve the veterans experience a little bit here, align the maps a little bit so our agencies can be a little bit more harmonized? How do we improve the software here and there to make a difference? What's missing from this document is, one, a broad vision of how the VA is going to reshape itself for the 21st century. In the healthcare space, for example, how is it going to go from being just a provider of care to being a provider, a payor, and a partner in ways that are much more like an HMO than the traditional VA? There are a lot of measures throughout the report, things the VA secretary is going to be looking at. But interestingly, there are very few outcomes measures. So the VA is measuring, for example, how many veterans it sees, how they rate their experience in terms of their quality, their satisfaction, et cetera. But not, did the VA move the needle in extending veterans' lives? Did the VA make veterans earn more money? What are the outcomes for their lives, and what role did VA play in that? And there are some other opportunities in there that are missed, but the big one is it leaves the agency roughly as it is, which are these three stovepipe agencies for health benefits and cemeteries that are about as distinct as the Army, Navy, and Air Force. And the really big organizational opportunity is to break those apart and build something of an integrated regional structure. And the report really doesn't even begin to come close to that.
It strikes me that of all of the agencies all across the federal government that are ripe for reorganization vis-a-vis the current relationship with Congress, the Department of Veterans Affairs is it. I mean, I don't get a sense that it's a political issue at this point in time that VA could use some reorganization and restructuring. Democrat or Republican, the voices that I hear from the Hill and that I have on this program seem to say across the board, yes, we need to be doing something dramatically different based on the results that we're getting. And so I suppose it's that focus on outcome that we'll hear a lot more from experts on Veterans Affairs like yourself, the concept, not the agency I'm referring to, in the coming months. Is that a fair read on my part, do you think, Phil?
I think it's fair to say that we have a moment now, unlike very many in history, when everyone wants to fix the VA as a simple matter of good governance and taking care of veterans. I think there's substantial political disagreement over how best to do it. I think Chairman Miller and in the Senate, Chairman McCain have a vision of what the VA should be, which is a much more flexible, much more privatized, much more permeable organization on the healthcare front, and one that probably pays out fewer benefits as well. On the Democratic side of the aisle, there's a vision that says, no, we're going to double down on the VA as a large provider of healthcare, and we're going to fix the VA to do that really well And oh, by the way, link it to the Affordable Care Act in various ways too. Those two visions are diametrically opposed from one another. And there's not a great deal of agreement over which to pursue, certainly between the VA and between the committees. And this was playing out beneath the surface of the debate recently over VA funding and whether the VA could take Choice Act monies and put them towards construction of new hospitals in places like Denver. How you come out on that question is very much driven by your philosophy of how the nation should care for veterans.
But it's hard to look at what's gone on in Denver and Orlando, and I believe there's one other Veterans Affairs facility that's in dire trouble. It's hard to look at those instances and say this is an area where we should continue to devote a lot of money with the organization as is.
I think it's hard to say that, except if you believe the VA should be the largest healthcare system in America, caring for this large population of Americans, then that drives you towards a decision to build more hospitals. Now, you've got to get it right. I mean, if you're going to build a $1 billion hospital, you've got to do it well. And I think there's universal agreement that the Denver Hospital and the Orlando Hospital and the others were cases of acquisition malpractice. But you know, there is a great disagreement right now over whether the VA should be building hospitals at all or whether it should be investing in more things like the Choice Act and more procurement of care from non-VA facilities. And I think that debate's going to play out into the next presidential election cycle and really be something that the next administration and next Congress wrestles with as a result of that election.
My fear of in that debate is that thus far, Phil, I don't know if anybody congressionally, I know that some folks in the research and academic and think tank community have done so, but I don't know if anybody in Congress has asked the veterans what they want, whether they would be satisfied with the system whereby they procured their health care for typical conditions that people in the civilian population also suffer from private sector healthcare providers, and get from the VA only that which is specialized and geared toward veterans populations. Maybe they don't want that, or maybe they do really want that and would prefer that. I'm just not sure anybody really knows. Does anybody know?
Not that I've seen, and that's a great question. You know, we know that veterans want quality care. We know they want timely care. It's not clear how they would make those decisions if they could rack and stack the systems against each other and pick and choose one or the other. You know, one problem right now is that no one can really compare the two. So if you're a veteran like me and you're trying to decide whether to go to a VA hospital or to a private provider, there's no single place or appointment portal or quality ratings portal you can go to make that choice transparent and easy. And so people make decisions with very poor information and oftentimes make the decision based on the financial incentives in front of them. And that's a marketplace problem the VA can fix. And that is what they're trying to get to with this veteran experience language in their plan. They are trying to make a veteran experience that makes veterans make good decisions and leverage VA resources to their best use.
What do you think that it says? What message does it send to veterans who consume this these services? That there is even such a thing as a veterans experience officer. Does that make a difference, or do you think it goes over most people's heads and isn't significant to their lives?
You know, the proof will be in the pudding. If these veterans experience officers are picking up issues and resolving them, that's going to make a big difference. What's interesting is that this has historically been the role played by veteran service organizations like the American Legion or the Veterans of Foreign Wars, that they were the veterans experience officers. They provided mechanisms to gather complaints from the field, raise those up to a certain level, engage the leadership of VA hospitals in the field or in here in Washington. In many ways, these VEOs, as the VA is calling them, will supplement and maybe in some cases supplant the role that VSOs play, while also creating a layer to identify issues before they blow up in the news like Phoenix last year.
The VSOs, have they just been overwhelmed by the amount of veterans that need help working the system, or has their role changed, the historic role that they used to play? Do they not play that anymore? Or how has that changed sufficiently that VA and apparently the veterans themselves think that it's necessary for this accentuation within the Department of Veterans Affairs itself?
It's a great question. The VSOs have changed significantly over the years. There's a great report last week in Military Times that talked about the evolution of the Veterans of Foreign Wars and how this one post in Denver, Post One, has ripped out their bar and put in a Wi-Fi cafe instead in an effort to bring in new generations of veterans. That said, as an actuarial and demographic matter, the veteran service organizations, the big ones, are shrinking. And with their shrinkage comes a real focus on those parts of the system where they do the most, which is the benefits claims process. They are also not reaching as many veterans as they used to, and they're certainly not caring for as many veterans as the VA. And so the VA sees a real need here to create its own system to identify problems and bring these issues to the forefront and really focus on delivery of care and services in a more competitive way. I think the VA is become cognizant of the fact that it's a crowded marketplace out there. And if the VA wants veterans to come to its hospitals and wants the budgetary resources that come with that utilization, then the VA needs to become a good place for veterans to go to and not just the default choice.